You're listening to the Wobcast with the one and only, the legendary, the insurmountable Wobby.
Yeah, what's up, everyone? Thanks, Josh Duhamel, for the intro. Really appreciate that. Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, at TCO Performance Center in Eagan, in the radio slash audio slash podcast studio. So we hope it sounds really good. It should sound better. And I'm joined, as usual, by producer and co-host Chris Corso. What's up, dude?
It's awesome to be in here for the first ever Wobcast.
You're in the big chair
studio
right now.
I love it. It's a little different workflow, but it'll be
It looks like you're flying an airplane. Like when I get onto airplanes and I take a glance to my left to like look in the cockpit because I'm super curious, that's what it looks like.
It makes me look smart. I'm not that smart, but
right.
We'll see.
Well, we're going to find out. We hope it sounds better for everyone. We're excited for today's show. There's a lot to get to. We're going to review the 2018 NFL Draft. We're going to preview the upcoming rookie minicamp, which is going to be held right here in Eagan. We're going to hear from Bucky Brooks, and we're going to talk about Terrence Newman and Trey Waynes, and of course, we're going to get to some of your mail. Let's start with Terrence Newman, Chris. The ageless wonder returns for another season, his 72nd season in the NFL. Terrence Newman, he'll be back in 2018, and that's cool.
72nd is pretty close. It's his 16th season in the NFL, which is pretty crazy. The 2018 season will in all likelihood be his last, as he said in his conference call yesterday, Tuesday afternoon. It's awesome to see him back in the building, especially after drafting a young cornerback with the first round pick in Mike Hughes. Him being just a mentor to him, as he is with a ton of the other young cornerbacks on this team. It's good to see. So I'm really happy he's back. He gave me a big hug in the cafeteria.
Aww.
We go back, me and Terrence.
You guys go way back?
Yeah, that's what he said to me. He goes, "We go way back," and he gave me a hug and. Yeah, it's good to see him back. He's sort of a player coach on this team, so it's really, and he's nice to everybody in the building, whether you're the website guy or the star quarterback on the team. He'll treat you the same way. So.
Yep, and he knows Mike Zimmer's defense better than anybody on the field, and he will be a resource in the meeting room. But the bottom line is, he can still play, and he wouldn't be back here if he couldn't still play, and he's not coming back to play zero snaps. He's coming back to play. And I was listening to, or I can't remember if Pete Bursich said this or tweeted this, but he made a really good point about Terrence Newman. He said that Terrence is almost at his best when he's on the field and the defense is defending the red zone. And he said you hear about red zone weapons on offense all the time, and that Terrence is the defensive version of that. So I thought that was sort of cool analysis from Pete Bursich. So we're super happy to have Terrence Newman back for a lot of different reasons, including the fact that he can play. And he's a super cool dude, and you feel like this team is sort of is put together and is ready to make a run, and you will be happy for everyone, including ourselves, when we win a Super Bowl this year. But maybe no player would you be happier for than Terrence Newman.
That was the furthest that he had been was last season when we got to the NFC Championship, and you can tell when they asked him on the phone call yesterday how much it hurt him to lose that game and how much he really just appreciated to make it that far. After being in the league for so long. So hopefully he can go out on top. That would
be
nice.
So enough of us talking about Terrence Newman. Let's have Terrence Newman talk about Terrence Newman. We have some sound from him, right, Chris? You're going to cut to that.
Yep, here it is.
I think they all have Ben Gessling from the Star Tribune. Can you just kind of walk through the decision of what it was like this year in terms of deciding to come back or not? When did you kind of arrive at the decision and what went into that process?
There wasn't much of a decision on my part. I said after the season that I was going to play, which I think everybody got wind of that, you know, so it wasn't much of a decision on my part. So I just needed to, you know, get a deal done and be able to come up here.
Terrence, Chair Graffs with The Athletic. Are there things that, as you now prep for your 16th NFL season, are there things that you have to do, you think, differently to you know, be able to withstand the grind of an NFL season, or is it kind of same old, same old?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much same old, same old. I think, you know, a rest, you know, getting proper rest and, you know, recovery, that's pretty huge. Obviously, you know, the older you get, the slower your body recovers. But, I mean, I'm out doing the same thing that everybody else is doing, so I'm training with all the young bucks and you know, just trying to get better and build camaraderie with them and, you know, just be a good teammate.
Hey, Terrence, with James Harrison retiring, you're now the oldest active defensive player in the NFL. How do you feel about that?
No different than if he would still be playing, I guess. I mean, it's football is football. I really don't. I don't look at statistics other than wins and losses. Everything else to me doesn't make a difference. With that being said, also Super Bowls. That's what's important to me.
Terrence, this is Obie Arteague with Fox 9 here in the Twin Cities. They go out and they draft a guy like Mike Hughes. Then there's also some young corners who are going to be trying to prove a little bit more, I guess, this year with Mackenzie Alexander and Trey Waynes. What do you think the potential of that secondary is this season?
I mean, we've got a lot of great players back in the secondary. I mean, Harrison, Deho, obviously all the corner depth that we have. And, you know, there's a lot of talent, absolutely. So it's just going to be fun to, you know, be able to work with these guys and, you know, all of us work together and compete and get better. Just making each other better, making our offense better, making our defense better. It's going to be fun, you know. It's going to be fun just to be able to compete and see exactly where we all are.
Terrence, at this point, do you kind of take this on a year-to-year basis, or, I mean, do you feel like you could play a number of years yet?
No, I think this is probably going to be my last. You know, I'm getting to a point where, you know, you got to figure out something else that you want to do. Once you get to my age. And, yeah, I think this will be my last year. No matter what happens, this will be it for me.
All right. Terrence Newman, man. I mean, he said it. This is probably going to be it for him, and that's got to be a surreal feeling, you know, to go into a season knowing that it's your last one. It's a decision that a lot of players, sometimes they have a hard time with it, especially guys like Terrence or Chad Greenway, you know, who play well all the way through their career and there's not a steep drop-off,
yep,
which there hasn't been from him. You know, you're sort of voluntarily retiring. A lot of players, their ability drops off so much that it's like, dude, we're going to cut you or you can retire, you know. So that doesn't really sound like it's the case for him. So it's got to be a tough reality in some respects. But then the other way to look at it is like, I've put in a lot of years, I've made a lot of money, I've had a great career, won a lot of games, been on a lot of good teams. Now I can't wait to enjoy the fruits of my labor and retire. So I guess it's also a good position to be in for Terrence.
It's always good to go out on your own way when it's up to you to leave rather than the other way around. So that's what Terrence Newman has had the chance to do. 42 career interceptions. If he gets two this season, he'll pass D'Angelo Hall, who has 43 for the active lead in career interceptions. So what a career he's had.
Yep, big cornerback week for the Vikings. I mean, Mike Hughes is the first-round pick. He's a corner. Terrence Newman re-signs. He's a corner. And we picked up the fifth-year option on Trey Waynes. So that's cool.
That's awesome. We talked about this when talking about the big dates in free agency, and this was one of them coming up here. The chance for the option to pick up the first-round draft pick from that year. The 11th overall pick in the 2015 draft, Trey Waynes, and, man, did he have a good year last year.
Yeah, he did, and he's flourishing under head coach Mike Zimmer's tutelage, along with Jerry Gray and George Edwards. But, I mean, Zim has been known as the DB guru of sorts, of course, most known for his work with Deion Sanders. Of course, I don't think Zim would sit there and take a bunch of credit for Deion Sanders because Deion Sanders is a great player, but there's just too many examples of corners playing well, of not great corners being good, of good corners being great, and great corners being Hall of Famers with Mike Zimmer, to not give Zim credit for Trey Waynes as well. So, and you know what? And with Newman coming back, and the Vikings probably knew Terrence was going to come back for one more year before the draft, the Vikings probably knew that they were going to extend or choose the fifth-year option on Trey Waynes. They still drafted a corner in the first round, which is more proof that Spielman cares more about taking the best player than he does about what position that player plays. You know, I mean, because those two roster moves you would think would happen if we didn't take a corner in the first round.
Yep.
But we took a corner in the first round, and those moves still happen, which just tells you that Zim, you know, he just wanted to take a good player at the draft. Speaking of the draft, before we get into full-on review mode of what the Vikings did in the draft, you want to take a look at some of our favorite picks in the draft. Let's stick with, you know, not necessarily just the first round, but the first couple of days, maybe the first couple of rounds, favorite picks. I have one that happened late in the first round that I think was a super cool one.
I have one, too. Mine falls to number five, to the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
I think Bradley Chubb at number five overall is something that John Elway did not expect. Getting the best pass rusher in the draft is something to speak for, especially when you go and sign Case Keenum in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Von Miller on the other side. So I can't even believe that they imagined that Bradley Chubb would fall to that spot.
Yeah, I think that most people thought Chubb could go first.
Yep.
Second to the Giants.
Yep.
No one really had him going third to the Jets.
I don't think so.
But then fourth to the Browns.
Yeah.
And he didn't go to any of those spots. He went fifth to the Broncos. So really good value there for Denver. And I think Denver was a team to watch to trade out to a team who wanted to come up and get a quarterback.
Yep.
But I think once Chubb was still on the board for Denver, I think they're like, we can't trade out. We got to take this guy.
How do you pass up on a guy like
right.
that? A guy
By proven. The way, now, our second round pick, Brian O'Neill, he played against Chubb last year, and I watched the film of it just today.
Give me your takeaways.
Prepping for the Pete Bursich film segment that we taped today.
Yep.
And we'll be up on the website in the next week or so. He won some and lost some.
Okay. I'm sure.
I'm not going to lie. Chubb's, a top five pick.
Yeah.
One of my favorite picks in the first round.
Let's hear it.
Atlanta Falcons.
Wow. Bold.
Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
Everybody and their brother was mocking a defensive tackle to the Atlanta Falcons.
Yep.
They wind up taking a receiver.
The rich get
pair.
Richer.
Yeah, it's a pair with Julio
on
Jones.
On offense, man.
So two former Alabama receivers, both big monsters who can run fast, stretching the field for Matt Ryan. That's good value right there.
You see those guys play there. Obviously, that's where the SEC championship is held. And a ton of those big SEC games are held in that stadium down there in Atlanta. So I guess they had some insight on those mm-hmm. Alabama wide receivers in
yep.
the past, and now you pair two of them up. That's a pretty good pick.
All right.
Should we talk about the quarterbacks real quick?
Oh, yeah. What do you got?
Well, obviously, Baker Mayfield, number one.
That's BA right there by the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. I mean, they just were all just like, we don't care what anyone says. This is our guy.
This is who we want.
I didn't see anybody predict that.
No.
Did anybody mock Mayfield to the Browns? I mean, you did mock madness for a million straight weeks on Vikings.com.
Yeah,
did that ever happen?
A lot of them were either Josh Allen or Sam Darnold. Those
no Baker Mayfield.
Picks. No.
And John Dorsey, GM of the Browns on draft day, is just like, here you go, everyone. Surprise. Baker Mayfield.
And then the Giants get up, and you think they're going to take a quarterback, and they end up going running back instead and building all the way around Eli Manning. So Pat Shurmur just doing something that was not expected of him.
Yeah, they addressed their offense early in the draft because they took an offensive lineman at the top of the second round as well. No surprise that Josh Allen went where he did and when he went, I don't think. I think maybe the only sort of kind of surprise was Rosen was a little late, I think.
He was a little late. I thought that there was a chance that he could go number one as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he was one of the guys that was touted as the most NFL-ready
mm-hmm.
heading into the draft, and he ends up dropping all the way to the Cardinals later. What was he, around the ninth pick in the
10th,
draft?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Lamar Jackson going last in the first round, I thought maybe that'd be 20 or 21 or 22, but he didn't go till 32. And I thought Lamar Jackson going at 20 or 21 would open the door for a sixth quarterback
Mason
to go
Rudolph.
In the first round, but that did not happen.
Yep.
So let's go pick by pick quickly, like one or two lines on each one for the Vikings, right?
All right, yeah, we're gonna take a look at all the draft picks for the Vikings here. Wabi had a chance to catch up with each and every one of them via FaceTime on draft night. Wabi spoke with each draft pick, which was pretty cool to be able to do for the consecutive year. We did that last year on Vikings.com as well. But we're going to start out with Mike Hughes, the round one draft pick at 30th overall. The biggest takeaway that I had was hearing Daniel Jeremiah instantly say, wow, this guy, I had him at number 15 overall in talent out of all the players in the draft. For him to fall to number 30 was something special for the Vikings.
And that's the thing I'm just going to spend a short time here on each one. We're just going to do something short on each one. So there's a million things that we can say in support of Mike Hughes right now in terms of him on the field. But I just want to remind everyone that I know you all wanted us to take an offensive lineman in the first round, and that didn't happen. So that's immediate, automatic disappointment, and that's a flaw in the thinking. Because when you talk to people like Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks, and you look at mock drafts, Mike Hughes was going before number 30, and the Vikings got him at number 30. So Mike Hughes fell to number 30. The Vikings did not reach for Mike Hughes at 30 or take the wrong guy at 30. The Vikings took a guy who should have been gone. And he wasn't gone, and we took him, and now Mike Zimmer has him, and the guy's probably going to be a Pro Bowler someday.
And one of my biggest takeaways as well was watching that conference championship game. It was actually UCF against Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And in that game, man, did he stand out. He returned a kick for a touchdown on special teams. He was unstoppable against Anthony Miller, I think
yep,
the name
the
of
Memphis
the wide receiver,
yep.
who was drafted by the Bears. Shut him down in that game. He played unbelievable. And just as he was all over the field. That's all I remember.
He's tough, man. He tackles. He comes up in the run. He reads screens. He chops guys at the legs. I mean, he's a vicious physical player at corner. He's not a cover corner. He's a complete corner, and he's going to be good, and it's going to be awesome.
Well, for Mike Hughes, now we're going to listen to Bucky Brooks of NFL Network. He gave the Vikings a B-plus grade in the draft right after the pick, so let's take a listen.
He left out national champion.
National champion. B-plus for Mike Hughes going to Minnesota. This is what the Minnesota Vikings do. They do a great job of attacking needs maybe a year or so before they come up. This is a team that already has two solid starters, Xavier Rhodes, Trey Waynes. They had Terrence Newman playing in the slot for a while. They also had Mackenzie Alexander. They wanted to upgrade those situations because when you looked at them in the championship game against, not the championship game, the divisional round against the New Orleans Saints, you saw them kind of pick on their nickel situation. Mike Hughes is a guy that is versatile enough to be able to play inside or play outside. I love his playmaking ability. I love his technique. I think he's a savvy player. He is a nice fit. And the one thing we know about Mike Zimmer, he loves his corners. This is another terrific player. I think eventually he may surpass Trey Waynes and become a star.
Yeah, I mean, he's stealing all my takes.
Yeah, that was pretty much everything that we just said.
Right. Bucky's awesome. We got with him great. When we were out at NFL Network this spring, and we talked a little bit about Mike Hughes. He liked Mike Hughes back then, and then the day before the draft, when there was media availability and we talked to Daniel Jeremiah, he liked Mike Hughes as well that day. So a nice pick by the Vikings. I mean, come on, Bucky, give us an A-minus, man.
Yeah,
I
was like, B-plus is a little low.
Mike Hughes at 30.
Yeah.
That's an A.
I agree.
All right.
Well, we didn't go offensive line in the first round, but we did go offensive line with the next pick, and that would be Brian O'Neill out of Pittsburgh. Tell us a little bit about what you know about Brian O'Neill.
Athlete. Like, got to grow into his frame.
Yeah.
He's not a finished product physically. So... And that's fine because he's like probably 22 years old and he's coming into a league that's comprised of teams with grown men on them. So, I mean, like, just let's be a little patient here. Everyone is like, he can't help us for 1 or 2 years. I'm not writing him off. He can help us this year, I think.
You think so?
I'm not going to write him off yet. And I don't know if it'll be as the third offensive tackle or if it will be as the starting right tackle. I don't know where it's going to be. But I think that we're going to find a way to get him in the lineup. Don't write him off.
Well, he started 12 games at left tackle last season for Pittsburgh. Was first team all ACC selection. I'm sorry, by the Associated Press in 2017. So he's had success at that position, obviously at a high level with that conference. So he knows how to play. And I have to say it. One thing that came up for Brian O'Neill when you search him on YouTube and look at his highlights: fat guy touchdowns. That's what comes up.
Yeah, he can score.
Fat guy touchdowns. He can score. He was a tight end before.
Right.
And they found ways to use him in the pass game. And he knows how to score.
So you and Cardinal and Zach and Felicia are going to be using fat guy touchdowns and headlines to drive traffic.
Yeah, that's a clickbaity type thing.
Right.
I know it is.
Although he's going to be offended calling him a fat guy because he's like a power forward.
Looks like he's in unreal shape. I wouldn't even call him a fat guy.
He's not a fat guy, but he does play a fat guy position.
All right, next.
And there are headlines, so who cares about facts and headlines?
Exactly.
Right? Fake news. All right.
You had to drop that in there.
Sorry.
I love it. Next in the third round was a man out of Ohio State, and that's Jalen Holmes, a pass rusher. I heard from the Vikings coaches that they see him more as an inside pass rusher than kind of on the outside as he was in college.
Fourth round.
Fourth round.
Because we traded out and got him at the top of the fourth. Yeah. Yeah, a guy that they think they can play inside or outside and can provide some pass rush from the inside, which you lost with the departure of Tom Johnson.
Yep.
So another guy that's going to have to build into his frame, but Rick Spielman said he's got arms that drop to the floor. So, and that's obviously something Mike Zimmer's always liked in defensive linemen, guys who have long levers. It helps them in the leverage game, and it helps them create space and shed blocks, and it helps with their run fits and be good against the run. So I think this is a guy that will be a project, and I mean that in a good way, someone that Andre Patterson will get his hands on and will help mold him. And we've seen a lot of guys work out for us in that way. Brian Robinson and Everson Griffin, both guys who were taken in the fourth round at defensive end and wound up being really good players for us. I think this guy has a chance to be one of those.
And you see the production at Ohio State in 49 games, 5 sacks, 14 tackles for loss, 3 forced fumbles, and 2 fumble recoveries. So he knows how to create turnovers on defense.
Yep.
Next, we're going to special teams, and that is kicker Daniel Carlson, Auburn kicker, and he was the top kicking prospect in the NFL draft, according to NFL.com. So it was good to see us provide some competition at the kicking spot.
Yeah, and I think with him, you know, it's what's the upside? I mean, you know what you have in Kai Forbath. You have a really solid kicker who can make clutch kicks. And Kai made clutch kicks for us at the end of last regular season and in the playoffs. So you know what you have in him, and now you're going to provide some competition at that spot. And Kai won that competition last year. So Kai should not come into this thing discouraged. I mean, he did this last year and won, and he should think he's going to win again. But now you've got Daniel Carlson, who's got a huge leg, was really impressive at the Senior Bowl, and made a lot of long kicks for Auburn. So it's going to be fun to watch that competition all spring and summer.
He's also a player who never missed an extra point at Auburn. That's
right.
That was a good stat.
He was also my second favorite FaceTime interview on draft day.
There you go.
What did he do again
in his
interview? He was just like really super giddy and like he couldn't believe he was drafted. And I'm like, dude, you're the best kicker, you know?
That's awesome.
He didn't know what to say when I pointed out to him that the Packers drafted a punter and we drafted a kicker because the Packers are going to be punting a lot this year and we're going to be kicking extra points. He didn't quite know how to handle that. So he's not really a trash talker, at least not yet.
That's funny. Next, we're going to a tight end, and that's Tyler Conklin out of Central Michigan. So he was a smaller school type player, had a lot of success over there, a ton of receptions, a ton of touchdowns. What'd you take from Conklin?
Great hair. I don't know if you saw his hair. Yeah, he's got long, dark, black, curly hair that he had up in like a little bun. I was super jealous of that. It looked super cool. Pass catcher, not sure about his inline blocking. I'm not questioning it. I'm saying I don't know if he's good at that or not, but I know he is good at catching passes and getting open.
Yep.
Watching some of his highlights and some of his games. So John DeFilippo and that Eagles offensive staff last year did a great job with the tight ends. And I think that John DeFilippo loves the tight ends he has here and was super excited to get his hands on Conklin to add it to this group. A group that includes, by the way, Blake Bell. Everyone forgets about that. It's David Morgan and Kyle Rudolph as your pass catchers and now Tyler Conklin. But don't forget about Blake Bell. We have him too. And I think,
right,
you know, we lost him for the season to an injury, so we didn't have him for the playoff run, and I think we missed him. But we're going to have him back, and I would expect he'll be in the mix to win a roster spot at the end of camp.
All right, let's round it out with the last three picks. This was another offensive lineman out of Appalachian State, Colby Gassett. He was a player that was projected to go higher in the draft than he did towards the end of this draft, and we got him late. The Vikings were able to draft him. So he led a team to a 9-4 record last season in Appalachian State and started 13 games at right guard for that team. So.
My man Corey Chavis, former Viking, now studies the draft and comes up with the draft report, and he's on with PA a lot. He said that he had a third-round grade on Colby. So I don't know if he is a third-rounder or if he's a sixth-rounder or if he's somewhere in the middle. I don't know, but I'm just saying my man Corey Chavis, who knows what he's talking about, had him as a third-rounder. So.
Well, that's good.
Good value.
Hear. Next is another guy who shows some good value, and that's just pure athleticism, and that's something that you can't coach and you can't teach. It's Ade Aruna.
Mm-hmm. You got the pronunciation right.
Oh, I got it down. I got these names down by now.
This guy was my favorite FaceTime interview.
Was he?
Yes, he was my favorite. He was so happy, and you know, his family is still in Nigeria. And he's married. He has a wife. I don't know if they have kids or not, but he and his wife were just so happy and excited, and you could see it in his face. I really enjoyed the FaceTime chat that we had with Ade Aruna.
Awesome.
And he's going to be a Day Runer for for the Green Bay Packers and the rest of the NFC North.
Oh, there. I see what you did
there.
Is
that a bad dad joke, or is that legit?
No, I like that. All right, I like cool. that. He was also a fun fact about him.
Yeah.
He said he guarded Andrew Wiggins in
basketball. Oh, yeah. That's right. I didn't ask him about that, but that is true.
He said that on his conference call, and I tried to put two and two together where that could have happened. I think it was in high school or something like that.
I don't know, but he's only been here since 2010. So yeah. He's winning, by the way. He's been in America just since 2010, and he's already in the NFL.
It's crazy.
That's winning.
All right, now we're rounding it up with the last pick, and that's Devontae Downs. He was a player out of California, University of California. He had a great start to his season last season and actually went down with a season-ending injury against a game against Washington State. So after being a stud for this team at linebacker, he goes down, kind of drops off the radar of a lot of these teams in the draft, and we get him in the last round.
Yeah, from what I understand, Cal's defense was vastly improved this past season compared to the year before, and our man Devontae was a big part of that. I think he was a leader on that team, and I think he was a run, chase, and tackle guy, and I think he was not like rah-rah like it's too much, but just like he was a leader on that group, so... the injury obviously hurt his draft stock, and that's too bad for him, but it's good for us because we got him, and we need depth at linebacker.
And I was talking to linebackers coach Adam Zimmer after the draft, and he said, man, that kid Devontae Downs, we had a high grade on him
mm-hmm.
before he went down with that injury earlier.
Interesting.
Yeah, which was good to hear.
A cool note on the Vikings drafting linebackers coming up in fan mail, by the way.
Oh, there we go. Mm-hmm. I like that.
That's what we call a tease.
That's a tease. That'll keep our listeners listening.
We just recapped all the Vikings picks, but the guy who made all the picks recapped all the Vikings picks with us literally 30 minutes after walking out of the draft room after the seventh round. Vikings GM Rick Spielman chatted with us on the perch in the indoor field house here in Eagan. And here's what he had to say about some of the Vikings 2018 draft picks. All right, so we want to review every pick with you. I got one question for each guy. We'll see if I can stump you on them, okay? Mike Hughes, first round pick. What was his 40 time?
4.52.
4.52. So you like that speed out of someone in the
first
round?
Like the speed, like the returnability, and also like the quick twitch getting into and out of his transition. And he can play man coverage, which is coveted here.
All right, you talked to Tony Sperano about the second round pick quite a bit. What did Coach Sperano like about Brian O'Neill?
Loves his athleticism, loves his ability to block people and sustain at the second level, his ability in pass protection to match up with speed receivers.
Yeah. Your third pick of the draft, Jalen Holmes, defensive end out of Ohio State University. Arm length on Jalen Holmes, and was that important in the selection?
Jalen was almost 6'5". He was 279 pounds. He ran 4.77 on our watches at Indianapolis. And he has over 34-inch arm length.
And Zim loves that in his defensive ends, right?
Well, we're looking at him as an inside pass rusher. At Ohio State, he's played defensive end. They slid him inside some as a nickel pass rusher on third downs, and we think that's where his best fit is for us.
Okay. We drafted a tight end, Tyler Conklin. John DeFilippo and the Eagles had a lot of success using some of the tight ends, so I would imagine that he was a guy, Coach DeFilippo liked Conklin coming up.
Yeah, no, they used him at multiple spots on the offense. Former basketball player that has tremendous leaping ability, really showed up down on the Senior Bowl for us and what he was able to do there. So I think he's going to give us a lot of flexibility on our offense to move him around at different positions and hopefully create some mismatches.
Daniel Carlson, the kicker out of Auburn. You said Mike Prefer went down to work him out. You guys spent some time with him. How far can he kick the ball?
Well, according to your reports, I heard he kicked it 70 yards indoors.
I've heard that he can do that, and we're going to score a lot of points if he can kick 70-yard field goals.
I had an opportunity to see him play in the SEC championship game against Georgia, and he has a tremendous leg, and I know Coach Prefer really liked him off his private workout.
All right, offensive lineman Colby Gossett, you drafted him. I believe he was at the Senior Bowl. Did you see anything from him there?
Yeah, because he is from App State.
Okay, Appalachian State. I mean, every now
played
and then.
Played left guard at Appalachian State, got an opportunity to go down there and compete at a higher level against a couple of the top defensive linemen in this draft and held his own.
Yeah, Ade Aruna was the next selection of defensive lineman. Really cool backstory on him.
He is another tremendous athlete. Last year in 2016, he had a lot of production when they lined him up wide. They reduced him down this year where he was not as effective, but you can't teach that size, length, and speed.
Devontae Downs was the last selection, a linebacker out of Cal. I understand the Cal defense took a big jump up this past season and that he was sort of a leader on that defense.
Yeah, he's a multi-position player, extremely smart, very instinctive, excellent size. You know, he tore his ACL, but our doctors, after examining him and going through the physical, feel that he'll be hopefully ready to go by training camp.
Coach Zimmer has one of the signs up in the building is special teams wins games. And I know that you guys talked a lot about special teams going into this draft. You draft a kicker, maybe a guy with some return ability, and guys who will help on the coverage units, right? That was a big part
of
this draft.
And one of the things that you notice is when you get these athletes, those are the guys as they're developing at the position, those are the guys that are going to be the big contributors on special teams.
Do you remember back your days starting out as a scout and what the draft was like for you as a beginning scout? And do you really think about that and you're appreciative of all the scouts in your room on draft?
No, I know they work extremely hard and they're getting opportunity to get home for a little bit. And then, you know, we have our Blesto meetings, our combine meetings coming up in 2 weeks, and we'll start getting ready for the 2019 draft.
You looking forward to the rest of the offseason program? Get everyone here and working out together to get the 2018 Vikings under one roof.
That's the most exciting part. I think the biggest thing is the rookie mini camp because you can see these guys. And then we start our OTAs. But the one thing we tell all the players is once they step in this building, that's when the evaluation process starts.
Vikings GM Rick Spielman, always kind enough to spend some time after the draft. I mean, you're getting GM talking to you about all the draft picks 30 minutes after he walks out of the draft room, and it's pretty cool. And a part of the process is the undrafted free agents. That happens right after the draft is over. And from the fan mail I'm getting and the tweets I'm getting from people, they love some of our undrafted free agents, like almost as much as our draft picks, so that's, I guess that's good.
That's awesome to hear. When we posted that article on Vikings.com, I mean, it went through the roof.
Everybody it did?
Was like, can't wait to see who these 17 players
that's
are.
That's awesome.
Obviously, we have some good success with some of these undrafted guys in the past. Six of the 13 players that Minnesota signed as undrafted free agents last year are still around. Deshaun Bauer, Dylan Bradley, Aviante Collins, Josiah Price, Horace Richardson, and Eric Wilson, who was a total stud on special teams last year. So
yeah,
it's good to see that this is paying off, and we'll take a look at some of the names this year.
Yeah, and you can go to Vikings.com and see the full list right now, but I'll just tell you that there's a guy named Holton Hill, who's a corner from Texas, who everyone thought should have been drafted, so that's cool. There's a wide receiver from South Dakota State, a Maple Grove native named Jake Winicky, so that's pretty awesome. And then we have a player with the first name of Hercules.
A Hercules.
And he plays defense.
Mata Afa.
Right, from Washington State.
From Washington State.
And I turned the tape on of him in his game against Nevada just today before I came here. First snap I watched, he had a sack.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was cool. Again, to see the full list of the undrafted free agents the Vikings have signed, go to Vikings.com. They will be participating in the rookie minicamp along with the draft picks, select veterans who are returning from last year's team, and some tryout players. We don't release the names of those players, but everyone else you can see on Vikings.com. All right, before we get to fan mail, let's recap quickly the NFC North, Chrissy.
Well, the big, big, big draft pick in the NFC North, and I'm going to Chicago Bears for this one, that was Roquan Smith, linebacker out of Georgia.
He's good.
A can't-miss linebacker, in my opinion. He is a player that's really fun to watch.
Well, he's going to be missing Dalvin Cook a bunch this year.
That's what we're hoping. We're hoping that he's a player who Dalvin Cook finds a way around him.
Yeah, so Roquan Smith is really good, though.
He's a good player.
I wish he was on our team.
Chicago went and added to its offensive line by drafting Iowa's James Daniels at pick number 39 after that one. So that was another notable pick for the Bears as well.
Yeah. Iowa offensive linemen, we like those guys.
Yeah.
Riley Reiff.
We got a few good ones over here.
Yeah.
Heading to the Lions, we'll take a quick look at them.
New head coach Matt Patricia.
That's right. They actually got a Minnesota native with their first pick in the draft, Frank Ragnow.
I wanted him to fall down closer to us.
Yeah, that would have been nice if he fell to us. He was the center at Arkansas. He vaulted up the draft boards on draft night, and he was picked way higher than many expected him to be picked. So,
yep.
And after that, they continued to build on offense, the Lions, and drafted Auburn running back Kerryon Johnson, who had a stellar 2017 for for the Auburn Tigers. 18 rushing touchdowns, over 1,300 yards. So he's a good player and definitely one to watch in the NFC North.
Yep. The Lions, I mean, as long as they have Matthew Stafford, man, like I feel like they're a dangerous team, you know. And now they have Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, who come from the Patriots, so obviously they know how to build a team. So everyone's talking about Packers and Vikings, and the Lions must be sitting there going, "Don't sleep on us," you know. So
speaking of the Packers, man, they had a lot of draft picks, as we talked about in the last episode. But they go with Jaire Alexander out of Louisville with the 18th pick. They traded out of the original spot that they had. The 14th spot, and they went back to the 18th spot after making a deal with the Seattle Seahawks. They get the man they want in cornerback Jaire Alexander out of Louisville.
Yeah, and I think most, if you talk to people who root for the Packers, which, you know, good luck to you if you choose to do that. But if you do, you know, if you are brave and you do that, I think they were thinking a front seven guy. Yeah. Early in the, you know, in the first round, and they wind up taking a guy in the back end. But either way, it helps your defense, and they have a new defensive coordinator, Mike Pettine, and Mike Pettine got two corners early in this draft. Did they also get Josh Jackson?
That's right, Josh Jackson was their second pick with the 45th overall.
Yeah, so two good young corners added to the Packers secondary that Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen will score on this year. It's going to be fun.
All right, well, that'll do it for highlighting some of the NFC North draft picks, and now we're going to move on to your fan questions.
Yeah, let's do it. You got them?
Here we go. I got them right here.
All
right. Curtis from Easton, Pennsylvania. Hey, Mike, I thought the draft was okay. You never know how a player works out. Did you know we have drafted a linebacker in the 7th round for 7 straight years? Skull.
I'm not going to check him on that. My man Curtis emails like every week, so I'm taking his word for it. I didn't know that. That's a coincidence, certainly.
7 straight years we've taken a linebacker.
I guess, in the 7th round. I mean, Edmund Robinson 1 year, Nate Triplett from the University of Minnesota 1 year, Ross Holman from Ohio State 1 year.
Elijah Lee. Yep.
This year we took our man from Cal, Devontae Downs. I'm going to take his word for it.
All right. Well, the next one's from Roger Schroeder.
That's what's great about our emailers.
They
drop knowledge.
That's a great stat that he had there.
And we don't even have to check my man on it because I know he knows.
You know
he's
knows?
Right.
I love that.
All right.
All right. Next is Roger Schroeder. I was very pleased with the players chosen and positions addressed by the Vikings in the draft.
That's a rare email. That's a rare sentiment from my emailers. Thank you, Roger.
A high-rated corner and an athletic tackle to go along with the prospects on the defensive front. The one concern I had was running back depth. In a draft that was supposedly deep at that position, I was surprised the Vikes did not take a running back. From this, can we assume Dalvin is healthy and ready to go for the opener? Are there any other free agents you think the Vikings might be looking at now that the draft is over?
I think we can assume that Dalvin will be good to go. And it is an assumption because we don't know for sure. But I do believe he's on track. At least that's what Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman have said in the past. So I think we're good there. Don't know about pitch count or full go right away or where he'll be at training camp. Don't know any of that. We'll cross the bridge when we get there, but I think we're going to have Dalvin to start the season. So that would be cool if we do. And this was a good running back class. I mean, Roger is right about that.
It really was.
Last year was an elite running back class, and I think this year's was just a step below that, and the Vikings didn't get their hands on one. That's good news, though, for Latavius Murray.
Yep.
And that's good news for Dalvin Cook. And you know, you lost Jerick McKinnon, but you do have Dalvin and you do have Latavius Murray, and that's a really good 1-2 punch at running back. So I don't think it was a huge need, but I think Latavius Murray should be very happy about that.
Absolutely. Last question from Jim Liska. I am a little disappointed in this year's draft. I understand the value pick of Mike Hughes, but we had the opportunity to take a day one starter in Will Hernandez, a position of need, the offensive lineman. We could have picked up Carlton Davis with the second pick, a bigger, stronger corner for nickel packages, says Jim.
Yeah, but they didn't want Carlton Davis. They wanted Mike Hughes.
Yep.
You know, so they took Mike Hughes. And I know everyone wanted us to take Will Hernandez. I mean, I can't even tell you. When I was in Dallas after the first night and Will Hernandez is still on the board, I mean, you would think that, like, Randall McDaniel was on the board. You know, like, there's Steve Hutchinson's available. We got to draft him. Like, maybe he's going to be really good. I don't know. But 32 other teams passed on him.
That's right.
You know,
32
so,
other teams passed.
Yeah. So, you know, because he didn't go with the first pick in the second round either. He didn't go till the second pick of the second round. So I hope the guy is good. I mean, bless his heart. Good luck to him. But obviously the Vikings didn't want him at 30. They wanted Mike Hughes. And then they took an offensive lineman in the second round who is the opposite style as Will Hernandez.
That's right.
Will Hernandez is like a big, beefy mauler who, you know, is going to play on the inside. We took a big, lanky basketball player turned offensive tackle, former tight end, who's the opposite body type of Will Hernandez. So I have a feeling we weren't going to take Will Hernandez in the second round either.
And that was the theme of the offensive line last year, was quicker type, quick feet, yeah, fast blinkers, as we always bring up, yep, as the offensive line coaches say. And I think we stuck to that theme with the drafting of O'Neal.
So. Yeah, and now we're going to throw touchdown passes and get fat guy touchdowns.
Fat guy touchdowns, remember that.
Who doesn't want some of those?
All right, well, I think that'll do it for the fan mail.
All right, and that's going to do it for the Wobcast, our first one in the radio studio at TCO Performance Center in Eagan. How'd it go, Pilot?
I think it went pretty well. It was a little growing pains here, but I think once we get it going, I think it's going to be a lot better quality and a lot better for you, the fans. So.
Sweet. Well, we're going to have these rookies running around the building this weekend, so maybe we can wrangle one or two of them for an interview and put that on next week's Wobcast. There'll be tons to talk about. Of course, we'll get to fan mail next week as well, so please keep sending your emails into my email address, and we'll talk football, because I love talking football with people who love talking football. On behalf of Wobcast producer and co-host Chris Corso, I'm your host, Wobby, signing off for now. We'll talk to you next week. So, yeah!